Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Lucas McCurdy and Joshua Crisp, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by Markentum.
So welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast. We are really excited today, and I just, sorry I'm chuckling right now for our audience that are not being able to watch this on YouTube. Josh, my special co-host, has a beautiful an AI cat sitting
exactly
in his
right.
lap that is just really soaking up his energy at this very moment. And so this is the first time that we've ever had an animal on the podcast. And so, and I'm not talking about Lisa Sinney. So we're very excited to have Lisa Sinney on our show today. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. Thank you very much. And hi, everybody. YouTube land.
Yes.
Facebook.
Lisa's very active on social, so we're going to kind of merge networks and leverage each other, and we're going to get out.
Exactly.
Get it out to everybody and make your cat famous. So, Josh, how do you feel right now with this lovely cat?
To be honest, totally uncomfortable. I mean, so I'm not exactly, I don't want to ruin some of our fans, burst their bubbles. I'm not a big cat lover. I'm actually
really?
Allergic to cats.
So am I.
So
you
I feel
like a cat guy.
Look, the cat loves you,
I don't
though.
Know if this thing has cat dander in it or not, but I almost feel like I'm breaking out in hives
no,
right now.
No, it doesn't. See, that
okay.
tell, yeah.
See,
no.
it's rolled over looking at me. For those of you that can't see this, I touched its head. It rolled over and looked at me. It's purring. And there's some weird vibration going on. So,
Yeah. Well, it likes you.
Yeah, I guess so. It's strangely.
It's like a normal lively. Cat that if you're allergic to it, they often want to come up and, you know, pet you and do things and annoy you kind of thing.
Well, this is the most uncomfortable show I've ever had so far, but we're going to get through
this. This is the best show we've ever had,
for
in
me,
my opinion.
I think it's fantastic.
I'm
Lisa
glad.
And I think this is the best. So
I do.
I'm glad.
I
I'm
do.
Doing this for you guys.
Well,
take it for the team.
That's terrific.
So Lisa, tell what's up with this?
So this cat is from Hasbro, the toy company, and it's called a companion cat. So my grandmother lived with us during this last 3.5 years during a social experiment. We had 4 generations in one house. She has dementia. And at a certain point, our animals started to ignore her. And this cat would not ignore her. It would sit and it would talk to her. It couldn't run away. It didn't need fed, didn't need taken out. So it's a perfect companion.
Incredible, incredible. So is this a new product that is just being launched out? Has it had trial runs in actual memory care communities?
It has. It's used in tons of memory care communities, and we're just hoping that people, if they have somebody, a loved one, a parent that might be at home and their spouse is taking care of them, it's a really helpful tool.
It's amazingly distracting.
It is, very much so. So I'm sure this is coming through on the audio, all these meowing and the purring.
So.
If not, you're really missing out.
You are
there is
out.
A mute button, so I have to say, they also have a dog. The dog's a little yippy. You can also mute it. I think the only thing that ever scared me was I came downstairs and I forgot that we had a robot cat and it meowed at me. And then I was like, what's going on?
That would do it.
You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so Lisa, tell us a little bit about your background and what got you interested in design. And then specifically, how did that parlay over into working with seniors?
Sure. So I'm an interior designer and I did healthcare design, was brought up in the hospital, and then started to realize that I wanted to impact people's lives more. And I was only hitting probably 3 to 6 days for people staying in the hospital. So moved into senior living and was in-house at a company called Carrington with a K.
Okay.
We did them all over the country, and then they were sold. We actually went public. They were sold that was 20 years ago this year. And the owners asked me to start my own company.
Interesting.
So now I've been blessed to work all over the country with all kinds of great clients and see what works and doesn't work. And matter of fact, in North America and China, and have a lot of fun with it. And then I'm very passionate about technology and how it can impact our lives, especially lives of seniors, and make it better.
Absolutely. Well, and so what's it like working with your husband, Greg?
Well,
he's not going to listen to this, by the way.
Yeah. Well, gosh knows it took him forever to read the book, you know? So, you know, it's just like anything, you know, being with your family, when you're an entrepreneur, it's a 24/7 kind of thing. And so talking about it, living with it, it really isn't that much different. We, having my mom and dad and grandma and then the kids growing up and us all experimenting on each other, it's kind of like a living laboratory. It's no different than being at work. That was kind of the easy part.
Interesting. So that's a great segue into what we really wanted to talk to you about is the content in your book, the topics in your book, which, you know, so run us through your life, y'all's life at home and how it got to that point.
Sure. So the first book I did was called The Future is Here, Senior Living Reimagined, How Technology Will Change the Face of Senior Living in the Next 5 Years. So I basically talked about all the technology that was out there that was going to enter into senior living. Then when my mom and dad and my grandma started having some problems aging, and my grandma was 90, and I thought, this woman is dancing at her 90th birthday party. You know, she's going to last a while. So as the oldest daughter, I decided, and with Greg's permission and her family, to sell the house and move them into another house with us. We did a small renovation and then make it a living laboratory. Get technology, test out, talk about what failed, talk about what succeeded, and help other people. Because 90% of seniors don't want to go into senior living, even if they can afford it.
Sure.
So, and for those that can't afford it, on the other hand, you know, I design really beautiful places. My team does a fantastic job. We're an award-winning firm. My parents want nothing to do with that. So not only was it very expensive, we have two kids in college now, but they just didn't want to go there.
Interesting.
So what we did was the second book, Hive, The Simple Guide to Multi-Generational Living, really talks about the technology, the design, and then the social aspects. Mm-hmm. I had no idea, like, socially, like, who owns the kitchen? You know, what about private space, storage, whose Christmas decorations go up? There's so many different things that I didn't think about that I think it's wise to have somebody else guiding you through that.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like the girlfriend's guide to pregnancy for multi-generational living, if you think about it that way.
Interesting.
And then the latest book that's getting ready to come out, it came out on Kindle a month ago or so, and it hit number one in 4 countries. Is Boom, and it's about for baby boomers, like how they use technology to go anywhere they want and age in place.
Interesting.
That's awesome. So, yeah, aside from the distraction on my lap right now, I'm fascinated because the multi-generational thing is awesome. Thank you. This is awesome. You take some of that. But so we were thinking about, even with our office, instead of just having your traditional office space for a senior living operator and developer, actually creating a home that seniors or multiple age people live there, and that's where our office is, and really doing like what you've done with your home space. So that's so inspiring.
And I love it. I mean, one of the places that we did that was featured on CNN, I took the kids through there, and they're like, I want to live here. And I'm like, I know, I do too, but they won't take us. You know, we're too young. And but as a mother and an entrepreneur of kids that were in school, I would have loved to have had, you know, the laundry done and, you know, meals and somebody to help with homework and that kind of situation. And I think we silo people too much.
Right.
And we need to go back to kind of European and more immigrant societies.
What do you think are some of our biggest challenges that our industry, our culture faces as we, because there's a lot of people talking about multi-generational, it's almost like becoming a buzzword now, but I think there's all these challenges that people are immediately throwing up. What do you see as some of the big challenges?
I think one of the biggest challenges is that Americans feel that when they have a problem, they need a pill or they need to stop doing something, where the rest of the world figures out a hack around it. So one of the things that I talk about in Boom is that if you looked at the x-rays and the medical records of a professional athlete, a soccer player, a baseball player, a football player, doctors would tell you, if they didn't know the age and they weren't looking at, you know, the bone structure on that, that it was an 80-year-old. So really? Professional athletes have the wear and tear on them like seniors, but they don't look and act like it. So what kind of hacks are they doing that we're not allowing our seniors to have? And that we're not adopting, and it might be biohacks, it could be neurohacks, it could be the right surgery and stem cell, it could be, I didn't allow my parents nor my grandma not to have stairs. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we kind of had some words at the family with it, you know, not anything bad, but, you know, they're going downhill, they need to be in a ranch, they need to, and I said, no, what's the first thing a therapist is going to do? He's going to make you do steps. The studies show that people don't fall on steps. They fall because they're over-medicated, they're waking up in the middle of the night and they're drowsy, their blood pressure, there's clutter on the floor, those types of things. They don't fall because of steps, and yet that's one of the number one things to get your lymph and your blood moving, which activates your brain and your digestive system and everything. It's so positive.
Yeah, so you brought up falls. That's a huge thing in senior living, and I've heard some statistics, as depending on what study you look at, in a community setting, like a senior care community, it seems like about 95% of the falls happen in the resident rooms when nobody's with them. Not always sure what had happened, but I think many of the factors are the main contributing factors. Living with the family and hands-on there, what are you seeing that are some things to for fall prevention that, whether you're doing what you're doing and caring for people in your home or senior operators and providers and designers can do to make that a safer environment?
Yeah, I think sensor technology is going to be huge in this in the future. Being able to, it's not about Big Brother watching. So I always say it's not about the cloud, it's about the heart. So it's about taking that information and then data mining it and saying, you know, Martha's been up five times tonight. Maybe she has a UTI, or maybe her meds are off, or maybe something like that is going, and being preemptive about it. So same thing with mini strokes and being able to have the right fluid. I think we're going to see an onset of mini labs in senior living where, you know, I can go to a CVS and get more testing done than I can get in senior living, find out more about what I need, get the right things. I can even go to Hydrate, which is like I go and get IVs and be able to, I'm sending my mom there. But if I had to do that with a doctor, I'd have to go to the ER, get it prescribed, be 6 months down the road, and that's not the way that it should be. We should be about preemptive, you know, health versus crisis management.
So the sensors and the technology, so I know, you know, as we've talked about that, and we've not rolled it out at too many communities yet, just in small portions, but nothing to where I think it could be or should be. There's sometimes a little bit of pushback from some of the adult children that think, this is invading mom's privacy. I see the potential benefit, but we don't know where that information is going.
Right.
So what, I mean, from your experience, what's a good way to kind of combat that?
Well, I think you have to look at and you have to build the case that GPS is not really that much different. So would you give up, you know, GPS in your car?
Sure.
I wouldn't. I don't want to go back down to AAA, find a triptych, try to get on the road, the ramp's closed. So, but they know where I'm at any time when I'm using GPS. The, you know, any kind of data mining health monitor, I don't know if you have a Fitbit or anything like that, anybody can get into it. But the benefits outweigh the negatives.
The negatives.
Hugely. TSA, I fly 3 to 4 days a week. I'm not going to give up flying and getting to my customers because they're going to x-ray all my stuff and maybe pat me down.
Sure.
There are just costs that I'm willing to pay.
Sure.
To be able to have the freedom and the life that I want. The same thing with my grandma. We had a camera in her room. Lots of people freak out about that. But the deal was my mom was feeling like she was a prisoner. She couldn't go out. She would go to a movie or go to dinner with my father and then rush home because of grandma. And I said, let's put a camera up. Let's put it on her recliner. We're not going to invade her privacy in the bedroom or anything like that. But she could turn it on. If she was watching TV or sleeping, they could stay out and have a dessert.
Sure.
That's a win-win for everybody.
Sure.
And when I was sitting there with my grandma, my mom would sometimes come on and say, Lisa, what are you doing? I'd be like, where is she at? And I'm like, oh, she's in the camera. So, you know, it was a win, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm hearing a lot of it, maybe just an educational piece.
I think so.
We can communicate that a little bit better. You know, I think that's probably something we don't do great in our space as operators. But, you know, hopefully even on our podcast, we have a diverse audience. We've got consumers, residents, families. So maybe even just hearing a different side of opinion and hearing it firsthand on what you've done is a good education and encouragement. I love it.
So Lisa, can you tell us a story, maybe something just beautiful and a beautiful experience that you've had at your home and just going through this entire journey, something that stands out?
Oh, gosh.
Put you on the spot.
And put me on the spot. So you guys, that's open-ended.
Yeah, and you can be as raw as you want to be.
All
this is a risque audience.
So this, okay, terrific. So the way we designed the house, my mom and dad are upstairs. They have their own suite. They have a den, a bedroom, a bathroom, and their own deck. And then Greg and I have, you know, a little entry, a master bedroom, walk-in closet, bathroom, that kind of thing. And then my grandma's downstairs in her suite. So I'm one of five children. And I was... It was immaculate conception, obviously. There is no way that I ever want to hear about anything that they've ever done. I don't want to talk about it. Don't want to hear. I'm one of those kids, you know? So when they moved in, one of the things that I didn't consider was that kind of thing. And I'm laying in bed at night, and I hear, "Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, ah, ah." And I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And my immediate thought was, not in my freaking house. You know, I'm a daughter. And so I bolt through, and I actually had five doors that I had to get through, like levels of door. And I get through the door, and I get to their door, and I open it up, not thinking what I might see, right? Like, I didn't really fully think it through. And my dad's on his knees, and my mom's standing up, and he's rubbing her calf. She had a cramp.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what are you guys doing? And then I see it, and he's like, she's got a cramp. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God.
I think we all just felt the same sense of relief that you just felt, because we were anticipating something really raw.
So I went down, got her a banana, you know, got her some things. We got it all worked out, and they razzed me. For the next, I don't know how long, it's like, hey, Johnny, you got the Viagra filled, you know, hey, this, hey, that. So lots of things like that constantly happening.
Sure.
And you build a connection with your parents, and at least my grandmother, I found out that she had played basketball. She was 96, and she had played girls basketball. I didn't even know they had sports for girls back then. She had been in the high school musical as a lead. She had played the violin. All I knew her as was a housewife.
Yeah.
And so this entire piece of her was missing because I had not seen that. And it was lovely to be able to hear that and see that.
Yes.
Interesting.
So the relationship kind of changed.
Yes.
And most some quality definitely. Time. That's amazing that you learn new things even after spending that much time together your whole life.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Lisa, we're so grateful for your time. I've enjoyed following you on social media. You're a monster on LinkedIn and Instagram, Facebook. And so that's a big aspect of our podcast, is that what we say on all of our shows is that we don't want the conversation to end as soon as the audio is over. And so we'll make sure to connect with you in our podcast show notes so that people can engage and ask questions. I'm sure after today's show, they're going to hopefully they have some questions.
You guys are probably going to cut a lot of this out now.
No, absolutely not.
We are not cutting a single thing. This is life. It's real life. And these are real stories. And we really appreciate it. And so we'll connect on our social pages. Feel free to engage with us. Ask us questions. And we will engage with you back. Thank you for another great episode of Bridge the Gap Podcast. Josh, thank you so much. Lisa, safe travels.
Thank you.
And that's a great show. We appreciate you listening.
Thank you.
Out.